that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this 9-9, September 9th, 2023. And beautiful, beautiful, cool morning here at the Radio Ranch. I was mentioning to the guys before the program, not a cloud in the sky. Just a beautiful morning, and we thank you for joining us. And we've got a full crew this morning. And Brother Tim, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. And Brother Josh, way down south, good morning.
Good morning.
And dare I say, Uncle Paul. Mr. Paul, thank you, from up north. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant from all over. Up in Canada. Been getting a lot of letters from Canada lately. Orders, been sending books and whatnot up there. And, boy, postage is a mess. But that's good to hear from our Canadian brethren. And so good morning. And good morning, Remnant, all over the country. We thank you for joining us. And Tim, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
I'd be delighted. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we pray your blessings and your mercy upon your people, wherever they may be in their times of trouble, Lord. And we ask that you remember grace and mercy upon your people in the midst of your judgment upon your enemies, Lord. And we pray that you would make your enemies your footstool, Lord, that you would cast them into the dirt as you promised to do, Lord, redeem them or put them under the land, whatever it takes, Lord, to make you king. We ask that you would put words in our mouth, Lord, that you would grant us your grace, that you would forgive our trespasses, not only individually, but as a nation, both known and unknown. Lord, we claim every promise in the book for our benefit, both known and unknown. We ask, Lord, that you would just bless this broadcast today, wherever it may go, wherever it may do, that it may enlighten, encourage, and enable your people to put on the full armor of God and stand before you in a way that would be useful and pleasing and honoring to you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Tim. And Remnant, we have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. And be glad to take your call. And
Tim, it was what you were talking about before the broadcast with that, you know, this raining in one place and this guy's thankful for it and appreciates it, and but it's not that great for his neighbor. That's pretty much ties into what's been on my mind this morning, and which was the topic of unanswered prayer. You know, a lot of times we pray and pray about a situation or and we feel like God doesn't answer our prayers, but also to know is sometimes an answer as well, just as much as yes is, you know. And I know we talked about in the past that it's not all about us. You know, what may be a small inconvenience to us could be a big deal to our neighbor if we did or did not get that rain. And I was thinking about, you know, if God did everything we asked him to do, first off, we don't even know, the scriptures tell us, we don't even know what spirit we're of sometimes. And we wouldn't want that leading. But also, too, who would be the boss? If, you know, who would be God if all you had to do was ask for anything and every single time you asked for something, he gave it to you? You know, that, in my opinion, that wouldn't be beneficial to you at all.
Kind of make you spoiled, you know, like get whatever you want. You know, we've all seen those. I think that also sometimes it's not no answer. It's a delayed answer. I mean, a lot of people are like, well, I've been praying about that. There's just no answer. And it's like, God says timing's everything. And things need to mature and before he can put that answer in place for you. I mean, I've looked back sometimes and seen that, oh, that year that I waited for that matter to be taken care of, that couldn't have been in place the way it was if it hadn't had the time to, you know, bear fruit, fulfill its destiny, or whatever you want, you know, but God is in control of it. And I just had to wait for all those other things to come into the right position for that prayer to be answered, you know. And that's like, wow.
Amen.
So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, you know,
sometimes we're not ready. That's why you wait that year that you're talking about,
yeah.
You know, because...
Yeah, it takes it's kind of like the trees and the stories in the Bible about the bearing of fruit. You know, fruit doesn't just happen on your trees or on your garden or on anything that you plant. It has its time, you know, when it bears fruit. Does that mean that the plant is worthless or that the plant's not doing its job or that things aren't going on before that happens? No, not at all. It's just not that time yet. So, you know, when we, and we are, patience is not our strong suit. You know, God says we're like a vapor on the earth. And I think a lot of times we're like, well, hurry up, God, you know. So, and I'm going as fast as I can. As fast as it, you know, works out.
That's right. You know, we've tried to teach our children, and I know we got an echo, guys. We'll get this board figured out. But we've tried to teach our children that, you know, if you ask mom or dad something and they say yes, well, the children are happy. You know, can we go do this? Can I have this or whatever it is? And if mom and dad say yes, well, then the child's happy and yeah, they got what they wanted. But if mom and dad say no, that child needs to be just as happy with that response. In understanding that mom and dad know best, and mom and dad hear what the child wants, whether it's to go get ice cream or to go to a movie or just, you know, to stay up late, whatever it may be. But mom and dad make the decision, and mom and dad are the ones that know better. And so to be just as happy with a no as a yes. And then of course to try to tie that right in with just what you guys are talking about, that sometimes we pray for something and it sure seems like a no. And sometimes it is no. You know, sometimes God just says no, because he knows that's our flesh speaking, that's our flesh wanting that, and it's not good for us, and it's not part of his plan for us. And so we have to, and I think we see that in so much of society today, is especially in dealing with law enforcement and police officers. You'll see videos and people are told no or something and they just freak out. They don't know how to respond. They're spoiled. They're used to getting their way. They're used to being able to do whatever they want to do. And when that, you know, when you're not trained in that, when you're spoiled and used to that, and then you get a no, can be greater life changing than it really needs to be, I guess. But we, you know, sometimes we get that no, and sometimes, like you said, Tim, it is a delay. It's you're not ready yet. You're just not ready yet. I remember my son George asking for a little 22 pistol, and he just wasn't ready yet. So it was a no. Now he got one eventually, but you know, when he first asked for it, he wasn't ready, so he got that no.
Well, also, too, and I gave this example to one of my sons, because I guess this weekend, or this week, what have you, I've been living this lesson, but told one of my sons that, you know, when you do something wrong, and you're disobedient or whatever, and I punish you, we'll say, take your phone away or whatever, and you see it and you apologize, and you know, I tell you that it's going to be a week, and after 3 days, you say, well, Dad, I learned my lesson, I understand, and can I have it back? You know, sometimes that answer still needs to be no, because I need you to remember this lesson. You know, I set that week because that was the punishment for whatever, you know, whatever you knowingly did, willfully did against what I told you. And so it wasn't just, I guess, a huge thing, but Friday, or starting Thursday and then Friday, I just felt like, you know, something was telling me I should cut. Hey, but they were showing rain for the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and, you know, 60-70%. I was like, man, I really think I'll go ahead and cut, but I didn't. And, you know, we pray to be Holy Spirit led, or we should pray to be Holy Spirit led every day. And I just knew that I was supposed to, but then I didn't, and I waited because the weatherman said. And so anyway, it was a pretty weekend, and I waited and cut Monday, and it's just been a kind of a mess all week. Had to go to work and this and that. And, but I knew that I was, and so yesterday, as I was raking out there in the field, and there was thunderstorms on radar on both sides of us, big red sails, and I was praying about it, and I said, well, I'm going to rake like it's not going to rain, and if it does rain, that's fine. We need the rain, and it's a blessing, and if it don't rain on my hay, that's great. I'll bale hay, and we'll make hay, but either way, it'll be good. And so that's just kind of what, I guess, brought up the topic, and I know it's applicable to other folks too. It's not just me. You know, like what you said, Richard, either answer we get needs to be, we need to be good with that. We need to be thankful for either one, because it's for our best, you know, best interest anyway, whichever way God answers.
I think it's
I think it's interesting how this works. Folks out there don't really know that, you know, we don't really sit down and do this whole major planning thing. It's amazing to me how the Spirit works these things together. And what was on my mind this morning kind of ties right into this whole deal. You know, a wise man keeps his own counsel. And when you're in the will of God, like God's will is your counsel. So, you know, keep it. And obviously there's always a little bit of fear, trepidation, and doubt there. It's you have to balance that between what I want and what I'm trying to get done with what God's will is, you know. And there's a lot of factors that go into each decision, especially some of the more important ones in our lives. And we have to do that all the time. I can remember something like what you're saying, Josh. I was on a project one time, and I was like, you know, this just doesn't look good. I don't have a good feeling about doing this, and I think we should just wait till next week. And I let a client crowd me into that, you know, crowd me into going ahead and doing it. And we almost had a major, catastrophic crash as a result of it. And I can remember thinking to myself, wow, if I'd have just done what I thought, we'd have been all right. And I could hear that still small voice, you know, in my mind of God going, did you learn anything yet? You know, I told you the way, and you knew you should, and then you let some other pressure you into that
the second way you just put it, you knew. It wasn't just that you thought, you knew.
Yeah,
but you did
exactly.
That's a different anyway.
Yeah, I did it anyhow. I was like, I went against what God told me and the counsel that I thought. I was like, oh, you know, okay, fine, let's just get it done. Then I won't have to listen to her anymore. And on the backside, you're like, oh, man, this was not worth it, you know. So, and, you know, but you learn that. And I'm reminded the verse that came to mind this morning was, we hear a lot of teaching from pulpits all over the place where they will talk about what to teach the women and what to teach the young ladies. But Titus 2:2 says, teach the older men to be temperate, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in perseverance. And I think we all categorize as older men, some older than others here. But the point is you need to learn to do that. Temperate, you know, is not prone to flying off the handle, and dignified is, you know, there's self-control, but be self-controlled toward what God tells us to do. That's that self-control. Don't throw a fit when things don't go the way exactly you want, or you don't get, there's a lot in just that one verse there for the men to figure out. You know, we need to take that to heart and understand that. And perseverance, you know, that I'm not quitting attitude, so. But there's also a time when everybody has, you know, it's like, okay, that one's just not working. But that goes back to self-control and temperate. You know, there's a lot to all those sort of things that make up who we are and the decisions we make and how we serve our God. And if we want to be useful, we have to apply that template and make it work in our life.
Well, the Bible says be anxious for nothing. Now, that's a hard one to live for a guy like me when I was younger. But it's getting a lot easier. And the thing, like you said, God speaks to you and you rush on through it anyway. And I've had many instances where that he actually told me when I, you know, I went, when then I reverted to my own thought pattern. And he told me, but I didn't listen. So, only you would know that. But, And this whole thing that we're dealing with right now, with the way everything is, there's no getting around it. You know, we are getting put in a corner where we are helpless, really, to some degree. You know, we have prayer and stuff like that, and they are answered, and he will take care of his own. But he's putting this whole world in a position where he's going to be glorified, and that not one of us are going to help him do it. It's his glory. I've been reading USA and the Prophecy again, and they had a really grip on that, how God is working something out, you know, this country that we live in, it's not a monarchy. It's not supposed to be. It is supposed to be a... anyway, it's supposed to be where the every person is a sovereign in their own place and a freedom. And every other country in the world has a monarchy or, you know, a dictator or whatever. And it seems to me like right now we're under a dictator. They're making decisions without consulting God or anybody else. But we are being put in a position where God's going to work this out to his glory. And Israel is going to know who they are once and for all. And I'm really looking forward to that day.
Well, and as we navigate these times, we need to be working on that again without ceasing. You know, it don't have to be something big and fancy with a lot of words. You know, a lot of times you're riding a tractor, be praying, or just whatever it is that you're doing, you know, pray that God will show you. And then whenever something jumps up in front of you and it shows you an answer, you know, your answer needs to be, yes, sir, boss, instead of, oh, well, this ain't really what I want to do. I think I can get around this. You know, I mean, we need to be seeking his will and then striving to be in it whenever he gives us an answer. And when we're on the path that he has laid out for us, you can't go wrong. And that's an awesome feeling whenever he shows you from time to time that you're right where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there.
That's really, really true and really good. I know just a couple mornings ago, I had a day before where I was weighed down. You know, I mean, I just had been one of those days where it was like, oh, you know, and you kind of get, I guess, low, you know. It was an Elijah moment, you know, and you're kind of like, and I was there in the morning right before I had got up, and again, that small voice said, you know, you haven't been as thankful as you should be. And I was like, you know, God, you're right. So I just, you know, started praying there and thanking God for everything that I could think of in my life that was good. And when I got up, I felt great. You know, I mean, when I, it was just like, it made a huge difference, because it's hard to be thankful with a heart that is sorrowful. I mean, you just can't do it. I mean, thankful. And a lot of times we make the mistake of operating from this, oh, poor me, I need a pity party. It's like, you know, things are tough, things are hard. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, you know, God is with you, and if he's for you, who can be against you? And he's given every one of us a plethora of great things in our life that we need to recognize. And when you recognize those and confess those benefits to him, he gives you more. You know, it's like, okay, you see these, you know, you've got these, now you're ready for some more. But until you recognize him, until you thank him for him, until you understand what you have, you don't get any more. You know, so if you want more, get in there and get busy with being thankful for what you've got.
I have experienced that personally, of truly being content and thankful, and then, you know, sit back and watch what he can do in your life. Or will do.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, it's just one thing to say it or to talk about it or whatever, but when you are truly thankful and content, that is such a peaceful place to be, because we all have a lot. Everybody here that's talking and listening, we've got a lot to be thankful for, and we are truly blessed. And, you know, we got up this morning, and that's kind of a big deal.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yep. Right. And you know, we see it, we read it. If you read the scripture, you can't help but read it no matter where you're at. Do not fear. Do not fear. And if you research that, excuse me, my frog in the voice, but if you research that, it is in the Bible 365 times. Do not fear. you know, that's a command. It's easier to read than it is to live, but we are to live it. And when we, you know, when you read Isaiah 43, he says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." that's a pretty strong statement, and so we should not fear. We should be able to live our life understanding that, like has been said today, that God has good plans for us, and he's working them out. It may not be today. It may be tomorrow that his plans are that he has for his plans to come true. And it may be, I like it how you put it, Tim, that it may be that we just need to be a little more thankful for what we do have in order for him to put more responsibility, to give us more to do. And sometimes it's our growth. It's us that need to come to the point of, hey, don't fear whatever it is, you know, what I put before you. You know, I, Josh, you came out and helped us with hay, and we're kind of wrapped up in haying right now. And the thought occurs to me, it's like, hey, don't fear the weatherman's forecast, right? Don't fear that because what God says, if he tells you by a moving of the Spirit, if he tells you in your spirit that to do this, then I've had that as well. He tells you, and it's like, yeah, but if I do, it's going to be this and this and this. Just like, hey, if I cut the hay and it gets wet, but if he tells you, I heard something this week that kind of struck home, and it's, you know, it's the scripture that says, draw nearer to God, and he will draw nearer to you. And he puts that on us. He's ready, willing, and able to lead, guide, and direct us, to give us that that spirit like Caleb in the Old Testament had, that different spirit than everybody else, of trusting in him and then leading and guiding. He says, hey, I'll lead you by the hand, right? I'll do all this for you. He's just waiting on us to trust him and to not fear and to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all this other stuff just kind of falls in place. And
sometimes it's hard to recognize that it is fear.
You
know,
yes.
Like what you're saying. And I mean, I know that he's the one that can send the rain or hold it back and in charge of all of it. Never, you know, but then if it, I had realized that that's maybe what it was, you know, that, oh, well, it'd be, you know, crazy to cut whenever the weatherman says it's going to rain. And then you're thinking, too, of like, okay, what's everybody going to think about me if I cut? And it's 75% chance of rain, and this guy's out here cutting hay, gets rained on, well, then, you know, duh, look at this idiot.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was part of it. And, but I tell you, yesterday we had a good conversation when I'm riding that tractor raking. I'm looking at the black clouds, and it's lightning over, you know, past the wood line right there. And I'm like, I get it, Lord. I get it. If you just let me get this hay up, I sure will appreciate it.
Yeah.
And thankfully, it didn't rain. And, you know, got some hay baled, but he got his point across for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you, like I said, you were out here helping us, and you saw it here. We would have nothing in the forecast, no rain, and we'd be out cutting, and I mean, with a crew, you know, Jason or Jim is out cutting, and Josh was here raking and baling, and we're cutting and just doing it all, and then here it shows up, and literally a mile up the road, it's flooding, and the clouds had come off this mountain and just split and go on both sides. And we would just cut and bale and rake and yeah, that is a good time too. It's a good time of conversation with God, of drawing near to him, of
one day, as it was coming, like you said, coming down off the mountain, and it was on the neighbor's place across the road, and I'm riding a tractor like crazy. I think I was bailing, and I texted Jason. I said, "Better be praying, pal." And he's like, "I have been all morning."
That's right.
Like, all right.
Yep.
And so we just kept on, you know. And then thankfully that day, it went around us. But other days, you know, we were supposed to get the rain, and we got the rain, and so we fellowshipped and we took care of the equipment, and we did what we were supposed to do while it was raining. And then whenever it quit raining, we did what we were supposed to do after it quit raining.
Right.
I'm talking about what the neighbors are thinking, you know, reminds me, Josh, of that's probably how Noah felt when he was building that ark.
You know?
Yeah. It's kind of a, well, God told me to do it, so I'm doing it.
Was actually a thought that I had, because I'm cutting on a hayfield right out there by the road, you know, they're going to think, this guy is stupid, you know. But.
Yep. Yeah. It's just that God is amazing as far as what he does for us. And as far as the weather goes, I kind of drew that in my mind a long time ago, that it occurred to me that, you know, he's, most of these meteorologists or whatever they call them, they just as well be reading tea leaves or something, because they have no idea what the weather's going to do.
Yeah, and when we...
Yeah, yesterday it went from 15% to 75% in about an hour. But, you know, when... And truthfully, and you can see well in hindsight, but whenever he said it's time to cut hay, I should have never even looked at the weather. I should have just went to cutting hay. That way I didn't have the opportunity to look somewhere else instead of at him.
Now, there is that question, where do we put our faith? You know, do we put our faith in the doctors? Do we put our faith in the weatherman? Do we, you know, or do we put our faith in God? You know, and we all have that issue. You know, some economist is telling you what's going to go on, or some, and I like the, and I can't think where it's at right now, but there's one verse in the Bible that says you look out and you see what's coming. You've got a pretty good idea weather-wise what's coming. You know, it looks like a storm, like off to the west or something, and it's rolling in, and you're looking at that, and you know. And he said, you know, you can look at the events going on and know that the time of the Lord's close. You know, but people don't pay attention to it. They don't give it any credence, and it's like observation is, you know, a very important part of our lives. Do you observe anything based on experience and understand what's coming? I mean, can you see that? It's not going to be that way because so-and-so says it's not, or whatever. And it's like, it's foolhardy. You know, God has given us the ability to observe and the ability to use our experience for our benefit. Because and he's given each one of us experiences that are, you know, you see different things come up from in daily life. It's like, especially with these younger guys, sometimes I can say, I'll tell you what, you know, I've been there before. I've had that problem before, and this was how I handled it, and it worked really well. That's my experience, and. When that happens, if they listen, they gain the benefit of your experience. If they don't, then they get to gain their own experience. You know? So
right.
It's kind of like, okay. So,
and sometimes we got to do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, God works. But one or the other is going to happen, guaranteed, you know. So... That's the way God works.
Well, when somebody tells you something like that and then it happens, then that just reinforces it, because we all have, you know, we all have to learn our own way and our own, have our own problems. My, our rebellious hearts have taught us a lot what not to do. And some people are teachable and some are not. Some have to learn it themselves. So, but it's our duty to tell them if we know. We certainly don't want them to have that trouble, but sometimes they're stubborn, just bow right in. So, and that's the thing you have to come up with. We're going to do it God's way, our way. And I found out that God's way is much better than my way. You know, it's good that we don't control the weather, because it would be all messed up. Somebody wants to go to the beach, and somebody wants to get hay done, and somebody wants the rain to water the grass. So we all have our own opinions, but God gives us what we need when we need it. The weather is perverted right now. I mean, a week or so ago, I looked at the radar, and there was nothing on it, and less than a few minutes later, there was a tornado touchdown just east of me, and it all turned red just instantly like that. There was no warning, really. They said it could happen, and it did. So, but if you look at around here, if you look at the radar, they're all narrow bands of red. It's all like the birth pangs, in my opinion. There's no gentle rains that come across the nation, water, everything. Everything is intense.
You know, that's a good point. Exactly what you said, Paul, that want versus need, that's two different things. Most of the time we look at what we want. But God knows what we need.
Well, we got to want God's will, not our will. And
that's right.
The difference.
And there's that content that was mentioned, that you mentioned, Josh, that being content, right? Paul wrote that. The Apostle Paul wrote that, right? I've learned how to be content with and to be content without, you know, to live when I got a bunch of coming in and when I don't. And we have to be that way. You know, Philippians 4:19 says, my God will provide for your every need, not for some, but for every need, according to his riches in Christ Jesus, and every need. And, you know, when we see headlines that we've seen, this economy, I talk with people, the remnant across the country, and it's a tough economy right now. It is. We're all feeling it. You know, gas, diesel's $4.19 a gallon here in Laramie. Gas is $3.89. I had to fill up the ranch truck the other day. We've been doing some moving stuff around and whatnot. $177 to fill up the ranch truck. And good night. And I saw this headline. This Shark Tank guy, Kevin O'Leary, the bald-headed guy. He is trying to put warnings out. He says chaos for the U.S. economy. And he says, wake up and smell the roses. And one of his quotes, he says, I'm in the real world talking to CEOs of small companies that are family-owned in America in almost every state every day. They're not happy. I'm not listening to the data coming out by the government. I'm dealing with reality. And he goes on in this article and just talks about how the economy, you know, between the Fed and the interest rates and the loaning rates and the banks closing and on and on and on, just about what a mess the U.S. economy is in and what a mess it's headed for. And we see these things and we live these things. I mean, you guys are paying as much for groceries as I am. But even in that, you know, if we're faithful to God, if we do our best to be doers of the word, he makes a way. He makes a way. That's who he is. He's the God that makes a way. He makes those grocery dollars go further. He makes those fuel dollars go further for those that are his versus those that aren't.
And that helps us on that want versus need lesson.
Yes.
You know, and we were having the conversation about bottled water being way more expensive than gasoline. I bought 2 1-liter bottles of water for $3.50 at a gas station a couple of days ago. You know, but we fuss about a gallon of gas being $3.50.
Right.
You know,
if you think about what it takes to make a gallon of gas versus what it takes to put a liter of water in a plastic bottle, there's no comparison. You know, we fuss about food prices, but we also know that you can't grow a garden as cheaply as what you can go to the grocery store and buy food. And that's why we've got it to a place where you got to have $1 million worth of farm equipment and herbicides and pesticides and, you know, big piece of land and genetically modified everything to be able to have a business model that makes sense to grow food, because it is so cheap. And that's so that we can blow our money on other things that we want instead of actually paying a farmer a decent wage for
right.
what he's producing, you know. So we are the problem. Our priorities are not in order. We don't see things like we should, and we've got want versus need. And I say me, and being the first one of the we, and then others, you know, we need to change the way that we think, and be thankful and content and go back to some of God's ways instead of just the way that we think is best.
Yeah, we are being humbled as we speak. This is what's happening to us. It's changing. It's affecting every one of us, you know, from the bottom up. And you can't get away from it. We're being humbled, and that's what God. You know, you pay a big price for rejecting God. And this country has rejected God, and we got to pay the bill. He's merciful. He'll forgive us. But there are things that we got to live with because of what we did, and that's what's going on. And it's not a bad thing. We're being humbled, and that's what we needed. So. Do I like it? Not necessarily, but I think I know it's good for me. I'm being disciplined just like anybody else in a whole different way because of the way I think.
Yeah, years ago, I can remember, I think 7-Eleven is kind of the first one I remember coming out with the convenience, quote-unquote, store, you know. And, yeah, they had some bread and they had some milk and some different things. And you could go in there and pay, you know, three times the price for, you know, a gallon or a quart of milk or whatever, but it was convenient. And what we have evolved into as a people is a convenience society. You know, everything's it's a 7-Eleven economic system. People don't even, and this, what God's doing is bringing it back around to the cottage industry and to the farmers themselves, where we're finding out that, hey, we can grow some food in our backyard, go up the road and get a beef from the neighbor, you know, and it's changing the way we perceive our reality and our life today. And it's bringing it back into, people talk buy local. Well, that's buy local at its truest point. There really, if you go down to Walmart and buy something, yeah, you're not buying local. If you go down to Ace Hardware, you may not be buying anything local either. Ace Hardware is a national chain. You know, it all comes from the same supplier. But if you go down and if Joe up the road makes it and you go buy it for him, now you're buying local. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where we're in it's a paradigm mind shift. And I just read an article the other day on Henry Ford. And back when he was running Ford Motor Company, he had a pretty big windfall back in the 20s or 30s. It was somewhere, and I don't remember the date. But basically, he wanted to reinvest this money back into his company to make it, more competitive and everything else. And, of course, at that time, he had already switched over to this, you know, corporate board and everything else. Well, the shareholders, they filed a class action suit against him and said, hey, you know, you're not going to reinvest that money. You're going to pay us. And he was like, no, I'm going to reinvest money. So they sued him. And the court came in, that was back at this time, and said, no, the only purpose of this corporation is to make the stockholders money. Whatever goes on there doesn't matter. And it's that thought process that is changing, you know, that is, and if you want to be kings and priests in your own home, and the Bible says that God's people are, then that's the way it has to be. You know, you can control, God works with you on that level. But this national level of of some huge thing leads to all the chaos that we see around us every day going on, you know. So that's kind of my short summary of what we're seeing going on.
But you're exactly right on that convenience part, because, you know, I had my water bottle and I filled it up before I left the house, but if I've got gallon jugs, I got the gallon vacuum jugs to keep your water cool, whatever, at the house, and if I filled up one of them, I wouldn't have had to pay that high dollar for that water, but I didn't. I was ill prepared, so I paid the penalty of that expensive, you know. So if we'll just, there's so many things that we can do better to manage what we've got and not be wasteful. And is it better for the environment for me to turn on the tap and fill up my bottle that I've already got, or to buy 4 plastic water bottles that'll one day end up in a landfill or whatever, you know? I mean, we got the blessing of great well water here, and I just wasn't a good steward of what I had and paid the penalty for it.
Well, one thing we haven't thought, when the place is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you don't have to plan ahead. And but I think the Spirit of God is moving in this country, because I see businesses closing down on Sunday that you would never expect. And it's going on. You know, people you wouldn't even expect, they're just closing up on Sunday. And more and more. One just down the road just started, they're open on Sunday, and now it's not. So I think the Spirit of God is moving in the country. You know, we will return to our God at some point in time. The law of God is written in their heart, and this is way bigger than us. And those that have ears to hear will hear, and those that don't, don't. And there's a price to pay for rebellion. God will deal with us. You cannot be mocked, and he will not be silent forever. And he's dealing with it. And it's a very good thing. So, you know, we shouldn't really fight it. You know, $4 gas, if you had it 50 cents, you'd go keep on running. I mean, when I was not too long ago, kids would go by all night long. And when the price of gas got up and they can't afford it, rush hour now. I mean, then it road just about shuts down. And that ain't all bad. we've gone through some really reckless years. And we're being dealt with, and it's a good thing. And everything works together for good, I believe. I just don't understand always. So, but it's really good what's going on. It really is. So, but one question. Have you guys seen anything about this Burning Man thing out in the desert?
I think they got flooded out here recently.
I guess there was, I seen a little bit of it. They must have spent a whole year to build this, and then at the end of the thing, they burn it down. Apparently, it's demonic. But there was 80,000 people there, and they got rained on so hard they couldn't even leave. But, you know, I just wondered if anybody's seen it, because I've seen it on YouTube a little bit there. That's where I get my news and stuff. And it's just amazing what they built there. I mean, it's huge, and then they light it on fire. I would say it's totally a demonic thing.
There's a lot of immorality that goes on there, and I thought it was interesting in this rain, because they're wading around in mud and mire, you know, up to their middle of their thighs. I mean, they can't wear shoes, and one of the problems that was they're having out of it, I thought was interesting. It's called Burning Man because, you know, it's a sacrifice to these false gods, to immorality, and to all kinds of, there's just all kinds of stuff that goes on there. But that mud is caustic, and it's eating them up, you know. And I was like, yeah, you're not going to mock God and get away with it, you know. So you guys just hang on out there, and they can't leave. They're stuck in the mud, like you said, Paul, and they're burning. It's a Burning Man, all right. So it's interesting.
There must be some big money there, too, because they just abandon their cars and getting out of there. They just abandon them. But, yeah, I've seen things of the traffic, like 6 lanes going in or out, whatever way where they're going. But it was just a huge thing. And I'm sure it's a demonic sacrifice of some sort. Anyway, enough of that.
They do love to rub everybody's nose and all that kind of stuff in any way they can. So, yeah. And the Bible says something about the joy of sin for a season. or something like that. But I think that their season is almost up. And I think we talk about the parable of the tares and the wheat. You know, as the heads of the wheat go down, the heads of the tares stick up. And but I think the other reason, I know that the wheat's full of grain, but it occurred to me the other day, and probably someone else has thought of it before too, but the heads of the wheat bow down as they are as they're praying, as they're under that yoke and that pain of what's going on. And I think we're at the point where, what are we going to do to fix this? Sometimes you just have to go to the Father and ask Him to fix it, because it's beyond us. It's broke. It's broke too bad for us to fix. And like you said, that's a good thing. God's going to, when we go and ask Him to fix it, though, that's not even an issue for Him.
There's no fixing it from our perspective. This, you know, God's raising these tares up, and He's about to harvest them, and that's delivering us, too. Like you said, that's a good analogy.
Right. So, guys, I think
Pastor Peter.
Think we got time for one phone call. Caller, thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling. Good morning, Richard. This is Terry from Williamsburg.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Terry. How you doing?
Doing well. Kind of wrapping up this morning,
I'm doing much better. Praise God. My knee's healing day by day. The pain is getting less. I'm able to ride my bike to town and just enjoying it. Waking up in the morning and facing new days.
Amen.
And I have a prayer request. It's my second oldest Bob. I found out, second oldest brother Bob, I found out he has emphysema. My dad had that. He died of that, and when he lived to be 93. So I put him on Ferritus, and send me a prayer chain, because sometimes I have trouble getting on the internet.
Sure. All right, Terry, we'll do it.
And God bless you all. Hope you have a good weekend.
All right, Terry. You too, brother. Thanks for the praise report. God bless. Awesome. And man, as we are wrapping up, we've just got a minute or two. I would ask you, and got it out on the prayer chain, I think, last night, but long time on the ministry, Frank and Donna, older than me, married couple in Oklahoma, been fighting some health issues and whatnot, and she texted me yesterday, their house burned down there in Oklahoma. So keep Frank and Donna in your prayers, and as I get more information, I'll sure try to share it out with the remnant. But plenty to be thankful for, and a reminder, you know, the word tells us that if we share one another's burdens in whatever way we can, in prayer, if we can be there physically, financially, whatever, but when we share one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. Contrary to what the Judeos tell you, that law is good, and that law is there. And that's a New Testament teaching, to share one another's burdens and fulfill His law. Keep Frank and Donna in prayer as you might be out on the tractor, as you said, Josh, or as you're driving somewhere, or if you just take a minute and the Spirit moves you, because they are in need. She texted me and asked for prayer, and I tell you, she said, "What next? What next?" She said, "Thanks for prayers a couple days ago." She said, "That's the only thing keeping me going." And that was Miss Donna. So we don't always know. We don't always hear. But God does. And men, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being on. And hope you guys have a blessed weekend. And thank you for the encouragement. And Remnant, thank you. And we invite you to church tomorrow. We're planning, the good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, having church tomorrow. So we encourage you. You can join us at scriptures4america.org. starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Eastern, 10:30, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 on the West Coast. And you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. And we'll start out with a little scriptural review and a timeless pulpit truth, and then a new message for you, and give you the opportunity to partake of communion as well. So we hope you'll join us, and we thank you for joining us today. Hope you have a blessed weekend, and for all that are His, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. God bless.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.